Good morning. Welcome to episode 7 of Future of Assessment. This is a co-produced live stream of NCFE and FE News. And I can't believe we're on episode 7 already. This is Spotlight on Work Placements, particularly looking around T-levels. Got a really, really interesting show today because, not being funny, if we don't have the work placement element in T-levels, then really it's all a little bit sort of pointless, really. And I think this is a really interesting show. My co-host today is Barbara from NCFE. Barbara, wonder if you could join us in the studio. Hey Barbara, how are you?
Morning Gavin, I'm fine. Hi everyone.
And maybe just sort of setting the scene, you're sort of, you know, working across NCFE, but particularly you're a T-level partnership manager for NCFE. And what have you sort of seen that we've learned from the pandemic? I mean, serious, the timing for T-levels and pandemic and workplace was couldn't have been any better, really, could it?
No.
What have you sort of noticed in sort of people overcoming, like, I mean, talk about barriers, overcoming barriers with particularly the work placement with T-levels?
Okay. Well, my particular role is I lead the account executives who work with all of our providers at all stages to support them throughout all elements of T-levels. So, yes, we've had some particular challenges and barriers that our providers have seen. And I think the biggest thing for me that sticks out is the resilience that our providers have shown. We've had some particularly really strong examples of maintaining those employee relationships throughout the pandemic. And during lockdown and kind of bringing the employers into the classroom so that industry link did not fail to continue. That industry link actually continued into the classroom to bring it to life and prepare those students for those placements as soon as they were allowed to go into them. So we've had some really good examples. I mean, if I pull on one from Priestley College, they used some really well-established relationships that they had. They thoroughly prepared their students for induction very well throughout this period of time. They use some face-to-face to build up those professional relationships. So again, bringing employees in when they could, but also throughout the pandemic, bringing them into the classroom via live streams and obviously recordings as such and Teams, as we all know now. Sort of involving that employer at the earliest stage as possible in kind of preparing the induction as well into the workplace so that when they were due to go onto those work placements that they could. And I think for me, testament to the hard work at Priestley College is they maintained their placements right throughout. So their education and childcare students actually got first-hand experience throughout the pandemic, which was fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. We've got two really cool guests. I've just had Janet just join us. I was a bit like, is Janet going to join us in time? Yeah, hi Janet. I can see you in the background in the green room. We've got two interesting dimensions here, and I've got a couple of questions that I've got for everyone, but I want to ask everyone throughout. But I wonder if we could bring in Janet and Kim into the studio. Hey Janet, hey Kim, how are you?
Morning.
Hello. Thank
you. Morning. So my first question is for you, Kim, because you work with the North East Lep. So how can we articulate, showcase, explain the reason why employers need to be embracing work placements with T-levels, and how what's the sort of best way forward? Because obviously working at the LEP, you've seen loads of best practice around this. So I didn't know if you could maybe share a few ideas as to what's worked really well in the past, really.
No problem at all. I think from a North East point of view, we've actually been really fortunate because I was involved in some work with the Gatsby Foundation, which allowed me to actually go out and meet with five local T-level project areas. So we've been able to benefit from taking all of the good bits from each different area for our own approach. And one of the key things which came through really loud and clear was the almost seeing this as a doing what's right for the region and doing what's right for the young person. And in order for that to happen, we as conveners and curators of T-level providers coming together really identified an opportunity to ensure that there was consistency of messaging when our providers were going out to employers. We get all tied up in our own education speak, don't we? It becomes our own sort of foreign language. And then you bring T-levels in, which route ways, pathways, industry placements, what was really clear immediately was that we as an education sector needed to all understand and ensure that we had a common consistency of understanding, but that equally we were able to agree how best we then translate this to employers. And what we discovered was that if one T-level provider, no matter how well intentioned, didn't quite get their first message right with a provider or with an employer, it really did have consequences on another provider engaging with that employer. So we made a commitment to ensuring that anybody who is either an early adopter of T-levels or who was thinking of T-levels would all embark on some common sales training. And sales is often considered to be a dirty word, especially within education, despite the fact that we're all salespeople when we're teaching. And what we've all agreed is some common language so that it doesn't matter which provider you were delivering your T-level for. When you are speaking to an employer, you are talking about the same thing. Everybody agreed that occupational specialisms was the language to use. That really resonates with employers. Move away from subjects. Engineering, manufacturing, far too broad when you're talking about maybe some niche or companies, but really focus on the occupational specialism you're looking at. Has really helped employers to understand why maybe one provider is doing one pathway and another provider is doing another. It's really sort of helped shift that view of where providers' specialisms truly lie. So we were very clear that consistency of messages is important for us all, because if we make a mistake, we're making it more difficult to continue with this partnership going forward. The other big thing has been how we talk about T-levels in relation to the broader technical education offering. And we were really clear that this isn't about T-level being put up against another qualification, that actually, though it sits very nicely alongside A-levels. And I must admit, I think DfE have done a great job here. I think that there is no question that people do not understand where A-levels sit alongside T-levels. I think it's really good to see now that more of those conversations around where T-levels sit alongside apprenticeships are coming into the fold. And that's what employers want to hear, because automatically the response would be, well, I don't need a T-level because I've got an apprenticeship. And to us, it was a case of, that's not a barrier. That's a brilliant opportunity. Because if you're already engaged in supporting somebody 80%, that 20% when they're in college, that's actually that period of time when you could host a T-level placement. And also trying to explain to those employers who aren't on board with apprenticeship agendas that actually, again, T-levels is a really nice try before you buy. And again, that's not a dirty word. You know, this is about you being able to experience whether or not you are in the right place to be able to give a young person what they need. So consistency of messaging, explaining that this is part of a bigger package is what's really been important for us.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think there's a massive lesson to be learned there around everyone having sort of consistent messaging with, because it is confusing for people, isn't it? If you talk to people outside of the sector and you talk about levels and you talk about sort of progression routes and you sort of T-level, A-level, apprenticeship, and then you know, people get a little bit like, whoa, what are we going on about? And I think there's, you know, to do that for the LEP region is very, very cool. I think there's a real big lesson to be learned there, Kim. We got that bit cracked there. Janet,
I'm not sure about that, Gavin, but I tell you what, there's definitely a big lesson. But the one thing which I probably should have mentioned as well, and this has almost been where the light bulb moment has gone on with employers. And this is where we've talked about the fact that we know that they'll be experienced and they will have had a lot of asks about work experience placements. What we've really emphasised is this isn't a work experience placement. This is an industry placement. And this is really tied into the project. This needs to be completed. And actually, this is a really, really good win-win for you as an employer, because there's a really brilliant piece of work. There's a really good project which you may have had on the back burner, which could actually fit really nicely into a T-level curriculum. And that's where we've seen the, oh, right, So there's a bit of thought here then. So we could get something from it. And I think because we've then talked occupational specialisms and we've been looking at the different outcomes, I think that's where employers have really realised that, oh, this has upped its game a bit. They are talking more of our language. We are seeing more about digital transformations. We are seeing our language around emerging future skills. So that's also been a bit of a switch and something which has been deemed attractive by employers.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Janet, can I bring you in? Because you've been incredibly patient there. I know you specialise in childcare. Is there any particular challenges that you've seen or anything which has sort of really resonated with employers as well around particularly the industry placement? So I think Kim's made a really good point around this isn't work experience, this is industry placement. So I didn't know if you wanted to share anything that you've sort of found as well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, just following on really from what Kim said, so some absolutely insightful comments there. And I think above everything, communication remains key to all of this. Effective, clear communication, you know, is so, so important. And so Kim's right, getting those messages right at the beginning and making sure that a sector that, you know, let's be honest, this sector has been challenged so, so much. Not the only one, I know. Lots, we've all been impacted by the pandemic, but the impact of that sector is great. And the challenges that the early years sector have faced is tremendous, you know, and they're working ever so hard. So they are fully occupied, the early years setting, you know, and then all of a sudden they've got the shifting landscape of education over here that is coming across and suddenly finding its way to the early years doorstep. So I think it's really important that there's an appreciation and time is taken, you know, to absolutely explain what's happening in education. What are these students actually doing? What does that landscape look like? What does it mean to me? You know, what am I taking on? Because as soon as an early year setting that's struggling perhaps to recruit staff, to retain staff and so on, all of the things that's going on and the challenges that COVID has brought and the challenges that they were facing before that, you know, getting all of that into perspective. And then suddenly there's another ask, you know, and there's bound to be that sense of, and what do they want now? There's bound to be that. And I think that's where that critical, where communication is critical. And it's really important just to absolutely appreciate the fact that, do you know what? This is a qualification. These T levels are based on criteria that's been developed, as Kim has said, in partnership with that apprenticeship. Those standards are at the core. So employer focus is living all the way through this occupational specialism, all the way through the T level. This is a qualification that's going to make a difference. We need to stop. We need to listen. And I'm thinking of the early years sector when I say we, and we need to actually allow this professionalisation, if you like. This is a real opportunity for professionalisation. I really do feel that early years educators who are coming through that T-level approach will be absolutely ready for work. And that's one of the major differences. So we've got the A-level, the theory, the understanding, but this is demanding a lot more, as technical vocational qualifications always have. But this qualification really is representing that up to date. It's got, you know, the standard is reflected from the apprenticeship. These students will make a massive difference in their industry placement. They deserve to be mentored. And I think as soon as those messages are clear, people, like everybody, likes to know what's expected of them, don't they? It's just human nature. So I think as soon as early year settings can absolutely appreciate what is a T level, what is this industry placement, what's an occupational specialism? Because to us, you know, we're used to that terminology. Early year settings are becoming familiar with that terminology. So we have to be patient with that, and we have to invest time in ensuring that it gets a really good, strong foothold and continues to grow in the way that it is. And it's been absolutely wonderful to hear the case studies that I know Barbara and her team have shared with us in terms of the success of the industry placement and the experience that those T-level students are having. So, absolutely fantastic. So communication is key. appreciation of the challenges that in the early year settings continue to face, and the partnership working. Again, Kim alluded to that, that really, really important stakeholder engagement, partnership working, where these things will grow from strength to strength. And that will make all the difference. People like to know what's expected of them, what am I doing, what's my role in this, and then plain sailing, I'm going to say it, plain sailing from then on.
Barbara, I wonder if I could bring you in, because I know before we on the live stream, actually live, today, we were talking about, again, it's communication being key. But I mean, I've got four kids, and I know exactly what it's like when you sort of, I'm trying to get out of one of them, what do you want to do? And it's just like, and stuff like, and it's just, how do you communicate regularly, so make sure that you know, the work placement isn't like a great big, like, I don't want to be in that career at all, I don't want to be doing this role, I've experienced it and I don't want to have anything to do with childcare, I want to be a vet, or I don't want to have anything to do with, I don't know, engineering, I really want to be a midwife. How do you sort of get to that sort of avoid that situation, because that's going to damage the learning sort of experience, and like that's someone's going to slip through the cracks as a learner, yeah. But also for the employer, they'd be like, what, you know, what's that about? My bracelet works amazing. Do you know what I mean? You want to be a vet? And it's just like, how do you sort of avoid that situation? So it's always sort of working and progressing.
I think it ties up everything that Kim and Janet have just said before us there, Gavin. I think it's about early collaboration. It's forming early partnerships as soon as you can. It's about communicating at all steps in the first stages before we get to promote and market our T-level programmes as well. It's about clear, concise messaging. It's about really good, robust information, advice and guidance as well when it comes to T-levels, understanding the occupational specialism from the very beginning, but also understanding the pathway, understanding the progression opportunities and where it can take you. So looking at it from both the employer and the learner's perspective, it really is that partnership, making sure that the relevance of the industry placement is applicable to the occupational specialism, that the occupational specialism is marketed in a way that is clear and understandable to the young person who is looking at, you know, that as a career opportunity for themselves. It's about exposure as well. A lot of our young people will not have seen some of the occupational specialisms. They won't relate to them in the terminology that we're using in education at the moment. So it's about, how do we reach out to them? It's about looking at strategies to engage with young people, to give them that exposure, but also to be able to give them a sort of communicated in a clear way that is understanding to them. And it's about making sure that in the first year of delivery of T-level as well, that we are still looking at the breadth that's available, and that we are ensuring that the learner, the student, is the right student for the right course at the very, very beginning and the offset, but also through that beginning stage as well, to make sure that the expectations of the student are met, as well as the employer in both stages.
Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. Because yeah, not being funny, there's many learners that wouldn't have like the connections in their family or friends to be able to go into certain roles or occupations, and it might not open their mind to be able to sort of get there. And you're right, it's the careers advice and guidance. How do we remove those barriers so we open this up for everyone? But at the same time, like, is it a wonderful experience for employers? Yeah, I've got like pipeline. I can see people sort of moving through. Kim, I want to bring you back in again. Is to, some people have got really cool relationships with their LEPs, others say it don't really. How do you sort of develop a really good relationship with your LEPs so as this could be beneficial? Because obviously you understand what employers need in your local area, you also understand providers. How can, if someone hasn't got the greatest, this is being honest with themselves really, how can they sort of start a really stronger relationship with their LEPs so they can then offer really cool industry placements, they can offer really interesting learners to employers, they can start this all together, because you're like that really cool sort of way of sort of facilitating and bringing people together and understanding what's happening in the region, but maybe not everyone has got a Kim. So how do you then sort of offer that and offer a bit of advice to the people to better reach out to their LEP and reach out well?
Yeah, and I think I'll just go back to the Gatsby projects I was in. There are five really, really strong local T-level projects also happening. So if you like, there are five other KIMs out there as well. So from a Northeast point of view, we have really benefited from how have they, whether they're a LEP or a combined authority, really done this. Our reason for doing it has been that we are, as you said, we are incredibly well placed. On the one hand, as a Northeast LEP, we have had significant investment through our skills part of the LEP in all of the career hubs. So we immediately have got access to primary schools, secondary schools, a college career hub. So we are well placed to be able to get out into those schools from primary in order to promote T-levels, technical education offering. If I was a provider, I would be wanting to be engaging with the LEP because they have a platform in order to reach all of those young people, all of those parents. The other aspect of it, we're impartial. So we can bring together within the Northeast, we've got 8 early adopters for T-levels, 4 are general further education colleges, 3 are schools, and 1 is the sixth form centre. So it's been really interesting for us because we've brought these organisations together who would normally come together to talk about careers, but very rarely would they come together to talk about the design of a curriculum within their own individual settings. So we've been able to adopt very much that impartial role. Also, we have the business growth hubs. So we're also incredibly well placed to get out into the business community. So from where we're sitting, you would be a bit mad if you were a provider and you weren't knocking on the door of a LEP. Because what we did immediately was deliver training to all of our external business facing staff within our growth hub team, so that whenever they're going out to talk about business development or business solutions, already at the top of their mind is, right, T-levels and the industry placements are coming on board. So we are, if I was a provider and I didn't have a good relationship, or I didn't have a relationship with my LEP or with my combined authority, my first port of call would be to identify where is the careers hub. And because the Careers Enterprise Company have extended their funding around career hubs, there will be somewhere around the country. And that would be where I would knock on the door immediately. There is then great benefits for actually reaching out that way, because then you can come together with other providers. But what we've done within the LEP as well is we've convened these root network groups. So we've brought together awarding bodies such as Barbara. We've got the regional Education Training Foundation representative there. But we've also brought in providers who aren't yet delivering, but who might be thinking of delivering T-levels. So you've already got this really lovely collaborative approach, which is we'll share the pain as well as the successes, because we've really got to make these work. I would be saying that if contact your LEP, find out how engaged they are. Are they supporting providers? Most LEPs and combined authorities will probably have T-levels in their strategic economic plan. Ours is in there. It's a very key priority to support the effective delivery of technical education. Even if technical ed or T-levels isn't there with, you know, a shining spotlight, there will be priorities in those plans which are talking about skills progression and skills development. And that's your hook for getting these conversations regionally.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. We've had, the time is disappearing like lightning quick, but T-levels launched at a really interesting time when we had about every Barry with COVID. Just really quickly, what lessons have we learned, and what's the future? Do you know what I mean? What can we sort of take from that as being a cool way for the future? Anyone can jump in. Just feel free.
We've established some incredibly strong relationships with the NHS and with Health Education England, because what we've identified immediately is that they've got huge pressures clearly. And so therefore in the Northeast, the Health Education England regional lead for widening participation now actually chairs a T-level NHS group for us, because they recognise that the T-level for health can be used as a vehicle for the nursing cadet scheme, which directly will link to the 2025 50,000 nurses target. So the minute you can identify that strategic win-win situation, you get the buy-in. So despite the challenges of the pandemic, and especially those faced by the health sector, our working relationships with the NHS have been amazing, to the extent whereby they've actually developed in partnership with us a slide deck. So, and that's now been taken on nationally. So there is now a slide deck talking about the benefits of T-levels, and not just within health, but within all of those non-clinical jobs, which health practitioners across all of the trusts are taking out and delivering to their peers. So we've actually found that if we can identify where the big strategic challenge is and where there is a opportunity to align, we get that buy-in.
Yeah, that's cool. Janet, I could see you desperate to jump in there as well at the same time.
Just agreeing with that collaboration. I think while centres can, while settings can, they should be developing those partnerships. They should be looking for those strategic operational opportunities to actually connect. That's so, so important. And then the other thing I just very quickly wanted to touch upon is that when we talk about careers, I know that was, we were just talking about that a second ago, the young people, of course, you know, the idea of technical education is to get that flavour, to think about being sort of work ready and to get some kind of insight into what that's like before making that sort of leap and commitment. And I do think there's an opportunity now for careers advisors, for careers information and so on, to be looked at, to be considered, and to look at the breadth, you know, because you could almost see it in an opposite light if you're not careful. You could think, okay, we've gone from all of these vocational technical qualifications and we've now got these routes, but they are incredibly broad in their nature, and they give more choice and more opportunity through that streamlined occupational specialism sort of pathway. So I think there's opportunity for real development and real insight into career development. But, you know, young people, all of us, we will change, we will grow, we will change, we will do lots of different things. But what that, what the T-level does is give that very broad insight into that knowledge, understanding and theory of a wide, across a wide spectrum, and then the opportunity to specialise in something. And then, you know, perhaps take that on board as a career, or perhaps use that as a stepping stone for something in a relevant, similar discipline at university. And that's absolutely okay. So I think it's about getting those messages clear that there's a real opportunity for vested, spotlight on technical education and what it can do and where it can take you. And I think that has long been neglected. So it's a real opportunity for that to shine.
Yeah, no, definitely. Our time is but done. But I've always asked on these, if you could dream and dream big, what would you want to see? And I think for this to be particularly around looking at work placements and T-levels. Barbara, what would you want to see for the future if you could dream big?
If I could dream big, I would like to see all employers having a full awareness of T-levels and full involvement in T-levels and opening up and showcasing the opportunities within their industries to, the students that are coming through in the future, so that they are aware of those occupational specialisms and where that can take them.
Yeah, that's cool. Kim, what would you want to see?
Well, I would say ditto to Barbara and Matt, but my other wish, and it's not probably really big, that is, I would want to see the cap on the number of learners employees are able to support removed, because we've got some amazing SMEs in the region who have done amazingly well at supporting digital industry placements, even through the pandemic, and they can actually support more than 20 learners. But we are needing to see young people, you know, really struggle to find a placement because that employer can't recruit anymore. So that's probably an achievable aspiration, I would hope.
Yeah, 100%. Janet, what would you want to see?
It's not necessarily a dream big, but I think I'd like to just see in the future, because what I'd love to be able to see and get to the point where we've got T-level students of the present, mentoring and supporting T-levels, you know, students moving forward, because that will just show the difference. And I think we will reap the benefits of T-levels. So we've got to make them work. We've got to see how they roll out and the differences that they can make to the young people who are doing them and to the beneficiaries in the industries that they will represent. So I'd like to have a glimpse into the future and just sort of wallow in that little bit of hope.
Ah, well, what a great way to end is hope for a better tomorrow. Who don't want a bit of that? Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is totally co-produced with the team at NCFE. So, Barbara, thank you for co-presenting with me and bringing together a really great team. I also want to say thank you to Lindsay as well at Team NCFE, who's just brought all of this season together beautifully. Also, for all of the FE News team, I just want to say thank you so much for Leah, for all the things that you've been putting together on this show, for Kelly, and also for Finley. And I can't believe we're coming into the end of this season. Next week is going to be the last episode in the season. I can't believe it's happened, actually. So join us next Tuesday, 9:30, and we'll see you all really, really soon.